Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Phil Battle.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Be here for another 24 and a half minutes. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano. And now joining us also in studio is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to see you, Tony. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad
Tony,
to be here.
Sorry, Tony. Tony's going to be making more and more appearances on this show.
It's not that his dad did anything wrong. Okay.
Ed's out gallivanting at the beach or something like that. Ed took a little break and be back next week. And Tony will be.
That's why he's filling in. Yeah. Nobody's done anything wrong.
No. Tony will be here next week too.
Growing the bench.
When we're gallivanting at the beach.
I'll be here.
And you'll be here working, slaving.
Right. My word is somebody's lately has right. been yours is gallivant. Mine's been meandering. I like
meandering. You can gallivant and meander at the same time, though.
Gallivanting has more purpose than meandering.
Yeah. Right. You gallivant. You're headed somewhere in life. You know. You want to gallivant through life. You don't want to have a meandering attitude.
Meandering will get you there maybe eventually.
I've traveled a good bit with our team, some of our staff here for different AFA events lately. Tony oversees the security operations, and so if you would humor me here and just go around some of the security team and just use the word meandering a couple bit, because I got to the point where I did it just to get their attention. Because when we were traveling,
you want to go meander?
I got to the point where I was creating ways just to
starts
use the word.
Starts making them sweat.
Yes,
yeah, so, yeah, I want to meander. Yeah, no. We've got to go here and here.
Right.
Well, I mostly was talking about the obnoxiousness of me saying it, and I know it was getting annoying.
Joe Biden used to meander, right? That's his right. staffers trying to catch a meandering.
They're gonna know either I put you up to that okay. or I'm rubbing off
I'm
on you.
That.
One of the
I'm
two.
Hey, let me real quickly tell folks, and then we'll get to Steve's news story line up here. But we've got some tours lined up for the year 2026, and I know a lot of people make travel plans, you know, 6, 8, 10 months out in advance. You have to get off work or whatever the case may be, make plans. We've got a list of tours that we're taking. We're going to go in June and September. We're taking a Christian Heritage tour of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and also Mount Vernon, George Washington's Mount Vernon. Then we're going also to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So much history there, and you can see God's hand in our country. And we're going to eat good and laugh and have a wonderful time. So if you want to travel with Christians on some of these tours, those two tours are available. Also, Wesley and Walker are leading another Boston area tour coming up in September.
Yep, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You already got registrations for that, by the way. I saw that today.
Mm-hmm. People already signed up. I mean, it filled up last...
3 months in advance.
Mm-hmm, so.
So, and then we've got Israel and Greece. Wesley and Walker are going to Greece, the footsteps of Paul. Allison, my wife, and I are going over to Israel again in March. I don't think we got like but 10 seats left on that Israel trip.
Israel's got about 10 seats left. We've got about 15 or 20.
On the Greece tour?
On the Greece tour. And the reason those two, we need to stop there and emphasize those because the registration deadline is the 1st of December, I believe. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Or sooner, depending on if we get full.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want details about dates, the itinerary, what all is going to be happening, check it out. Here's the website for any of the tours that I just mentioned coming up in 2026. Go to WILDMONgroup.com. WILDMONgroup.com. WILDMONgroup.com, and everything you need to know is there.
And we look forward to the fellowship. A lot of ideas that we get for things that we do around the office come from sitting around eating and fellowshipping with our listeners and our supporters. So, and it's more than one night, too. So a lot of nights, a lot of days of being on a bus with...
Yeah, we've done the one-night Israel tour, and it's just a lot to squeeze in. You know what I'm saying? people did complain.
Yeah, people in their pajamas everywhere.
They're in their pajamas. You hit the ground. You try to take in as much as you can, you know, and only stay one night. But it just didn't work. It didn't work for us. I'm not saying it can't work for others.
You couldn't even watch a video in one night that would cover all that you cover.
We tried it.
And then the flip side of that, you tried Paul's journey where you go by boat and foot everywhere. Yeah. Also too long.
Yes,
you know,
right. And people complaining, and I didn't bring the right shoes for this 30-mile trek. And I'm going like, it's not miles over here. It's meters. You need to get your math right before you start complaining.
And then the on and off of the camel.
Right, on and off of the camel.
Or the donkey, whatever. Yeah. Right, whatever it was.
The detour to the island.
Whatever kind of biblical animal you can get on, you have to get off of it.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
I just got to say, I have more than a feeling the Boston trip is going to be very good for you, though.
I
know what you did there.
I like it.
Wesley probably does. Tony does because he had to grow up with it.
That's right.
All right. You guys,
classic 70s rock there, brought to you by Steve Jordahl.
One of the best bands ever. All right, you guys.
Steve, Amanda Jordahl.
Amanda?
Just look it up.
Okay.
Just look it up.
Amanda's a song by said group.
Oh, okay. All right. I see what you
said. See what I did there?
I will have to look it up. Okay. You might remember in the wake of the terrible October 7th terrorist attack in Israel that anti-Israel sentiment exploded on American college campuses, Columbia among others, and students started taking over buildings and harassing Jewish students, and some even went so far as to get disciplined by their schools, kicked out of college if they took over a building or did something that was against the rules, and the college decided to force it. Well, the group CARE, which is the Council on American and Islamic Relations, has decided to cut some of these children, babies, these anti-Semites, checks. They're getting $1,000 checks, some of these are, to make up for the fact that they got kicked out, lost scholarships, lost job offers. So CARE is cutting $1,000 checks to some of the agitators who've been disciplined by colleges. Kind of reminds me of the Palestinian Authority Martyrs Fund. So I don't know, what do you all think about them getting rewarded for their anti-Semitism?
I think it should be illegal.
CARE?
Well, CARE giving money out to support.
That's an indictment against them as a so-called peaceful group.
Well, didn't
you're paying money. You're paying money for people to act out on their anti-Semitism.
So, yeah. They have a First Amendment right to say what they want to say if they want to speak out against. Obviously, violence is a whole other issue. And CARE can – we all know who CARE is at this point, right?
Some people listening don't know.
Well, Governor Abbott just designated them and the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorist groups. So there you go. You can see where their allegiance lies. So if they giving money to these agitators or to these people got kicked out of campuses, I think that just tracks as to who they are. Yeah.
The California chapter of CARE, which is kind of cutting most of these checks, raised $164,000 for this purpose, to support or to pay some of these college agitators.
A lot of these people are on the left who are rent a protester.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also, a lot of them are at the same rallies, they say. You know, one rally, they go to this rally, and then they go to another. It's a business, you know. It's free enterprise. You have to rent a protester, and they
there's actually a group called Rent a Crowd. I think it's called
Rent a Crowd. I've used them.
Yeah.
For how?
Well, for one of our baseball games. You don't know this, do you, Wes?
I don't know this.
Yeah, I rented.
Keep going.
I rented some fans for your team.
Oh, I'm Jack. Okay, yeah. I didn't know where you're going with
make
that.
Make the crowd bigger than the other teams.
Rent a crowd.
Paid them a little bit.
It's like
you know?
Fill up the tours.
All right, next story, right. Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. And this is good. I'm glad Tony's here to talk about this because
they're here too.
Researchers are talking about what they're calling hallucinations with ChatGPT or with chatbots. So a Deakin University study found that when they were talking about mental health literature, they tasked ChatGPT to write 6 literature reviews on mental health topics. They found that half of the references that ChatGPT gave them were made up. And they just were making stuff up. That it's called hallucinations. They will give you the wrong answers. I looked this up. Chatbots, and this is where they say hallucinations come from. Tony, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Chatbots are often trained to provide an answer rather than admit uncertainty, and they are rewarded for generating plausible text, even if it's incorrect. Therefore, they are conditioned to fill the gaps with made-up information instead of admitting ignorance. This is a phenomenon known as hallucinations. Got to be careful when you're using chatbots, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they're trained by people, and now they've been trained for years, so I'm not going to take away from the hard work and the effort and the amazing technology that's gone into it. But they have been trained for years off of human interaction. So positive or negative reinforcement on an answer that's provided by the AI when asked a question, and then corrections that are given. But you're right. This doesn't surprise me, because they are by default designed to give you an answer or at least somewhere, you know, close to an answer. It doesn't do any good. People are going to stop using an AI if the AI is like me when my wife asked me, you know, did you do the dishes? I forgot, or I don't know. I mean, no one's going to use an AI that's just like, right. Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. People are going to stop using it. So it's trained to give an answer. And however, it doesn't take away from the fact that that's a scary, that's an awful high percentage, especially when it comes to topics like mental health. You know, we have people going to an AI asking questions about their mental health and treatment options. What, you know, give me a diagnosis. That's not a subject you want to be hallucinating.
We're hearing a lot of advances in AI medicine. In other words, diagnosis, mm-hmm. Help with surgeries.
Yep.
That's another area that I would really quite, and if they're hallucinating, giving me a diagnosis or what medicine I need to take.
Yeah.
Who gets
to me,
blamed
that's the
here?
Most. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, who gets blamed here if they get it wrong? Is it AI gets blamed? Who's held accountable?
Well, I don't know if there's been a legal test to this. I keep thinking in my mind, well, they're embarrassed if they don't know, and so they're going to make something up so they don't look bad. There's no emotion going on here, though, right, Tony?
No, there's no emotion. It's just it's a matter of the perception of quality of the product you're using, right? If something keeps coming back to you saying they don't know. To me, to your point, Steve, that would be the more concerning. I'm not so concerned about a student who's working on their PhD or their thesis going to ChatGPT and they get some wrong info, you know, when they're writing a paper. That's not so much concerning to me. You're using it, you know, as an information source. It could be wrong. What is more concerning to me is if we start looking to AI for medical diagnosis and even recommendations of treatment. You definitely don't want to get a misdiagnosis from an AI.
Let me ask you this. What types of queries for ChatGPT or from chatbots would you feel most comfortable doing? Is there a certain topic, like data, tell me the population
history
of Cambodia or something like that? Probably get that right.
Oh, yeah, historical, geopolitical, you know, political science, anything where there is solid, concrete documentation readily available that the AI can access. Those are all safe. Safe topics, in my opinion, and in my experience. Technology questions also. I've used it for troubleshooting multiple times. I tend to stay away from like medical or, you know, I would stay away from mental health recommendations, you know.
Maybe
until
social
the tech
issues?
Well, yeah. All
serious.
The questions I've asked them about my mental health. poor answers, but that's yeah.
Those, engineering questions. How, you know, what kind of load does this bridge hold?
I don't want structural engineers asking ChatGPT when they're out in the field. You know, how much weight can this?
Right.
I have another question, if I may, for on kind of a related topic.
I'll just wait. No, I'll just wait right here. I don't mean anything by that. I'm just saying. You asked me you want to continue, and I'm just saying, yes, go right ahead, you and Tony. And
I'd like to get your information on this too, Tim.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is there What I'm having trouble with as a reporter now is telling fact from fiction when it comes to like some of these videos or some of these news stories that are sometimes made up. Is that video of President Trump throwing an ice cream cone at Joe Biden, is that made up AI or is it real? Is there any software that you guys know about that would be able to fact check a video or a legitimate claim, a journalistic claim?
You asked Tony that because I just believe everything.
Yeah,
until I'm proven otherwise, I believe everything I see.
You assume the best in everybody.
There are sites out there that you can submit AI images or videos to that we'll check it. And
have you been running into this, Steve?
I think about it every day because I decide what news to cover. I decide how to cover it. I decide what to say based on what I'm finding. Mm-hmm. And the internet is almost exclusively what we have to use these days. I mean, there was a time when I used to go actually look at phone books to find a number and then call a company to get a statistic. Mm-hmm. It's all online now. And if you can't trust it, then that makes
okay,
my job
difficult. Let me ask you this because I use this, and I'm not sure what it is exactly, but I think everybody uses something nowadays if you have internet connection, especially on your cell phone. So I'm going to type in something and on Safari, because I have an iPhone. Well, no, it's Google. It's Google. Mm-hmm. Safari's not the
Safari's browser. The browser.
Okay. So Google's a search engine.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So using Google as a search engine, if you type in a subject, then it's going to pop up with, what is that thing that? What is that information that pops up first?
That's the AI answer.
It's the AI generated.
It's generated, mm-hmm. And it's been in use for about 2 or 3 years now, maybe a little bit longer.
That's actually
much newer. About what you're talking about is much newer.
Much newer. Yeah, I'd say probably within a year.
The last
or two.
Year. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is that called?
That's just their AI that they're using.
Okay, it's AI though.
Yeah, it's
that's
AI.
What I wanted
yeah.
to know. What's Gemini? I mean?
Gemini is Google's AI.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about if you type it. So if I'm at Google right now, mm-hmm. and I type in, let's just say SEC football, okay, and it comes up, and it's got scheduled now. But anyway, on most topics, it'll come up with the basic information that you're looking for mm-hmm. on yeah. said topic, right?
Right.
And that's pretty neutral most of the time. I mean, I've found it.
It is, and they'll usually contain links, references yeah. within the information.
But it's not politically driven, but you could.
It depends. I've come across, like, for example, if I'm trying to find out what a conservative news outlet or conservative perspective on a certain topic, if it's a political topic, it might not come up on my ChatGPT feed or the AI feed because it has been programmed to give me all of the liberal outlets first. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, so that you have to be kind of careful about that too.
Yeah, it's trained by people and people are going to have inherent biases.
Okay, I just did, for example, what is a Maltese? Our dog is a Maltese. Mm-hmm. And it brings up all kind of good stuff in a matter of 2 seconds, 1 or 2 seconds.
It's yeah. compiling, the way I understand it, compiles a bunch of articles and information
yes.
and summarizes it down. And
how does it do it, though, in 1 second?
It's trained. There's a lot of computing power behind it, first of all, that takes your query. But it's trained on the internet, basically. And so a lot of that can be cached, too. So you're probably not the first person to ask, what is a Maltese? So, you know, the answer may be cached to a degree, and that's why it's brought up so quickly.
Which but why, there's a lot of cash involved.
I think you should. Yeah. I'd say use cash when possible.
Yes, that's right.
Here's another problem, I think, with it, too, though, is if you are, for example, the American Kennel Society, Kennel Club, whatever it's mm-hmm. called, AKC, and you use advertising in your website to help to raise money for the so when you go to AKC.org, if that's what the website is, you see ads, and that's one of the ways that American Kennel Club gets money mm-hmm. to help do their operations. Well, if it's being shown to me in ChatGPT, I never go to AKC.org, and therefore I don't see the ads. And
same's true about KFC.
And yes, and AFA too, by the way.
That's a growing complaint amongst online e-commerce businesses is that a lot of their traffic was generated off of paid advertisements mm-hmm. Or priority in the Google search results, and they're seeing reduced traffic because people aren't even using traditional Google, so right. to speak. They're going to AI and asking the questions.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Wesley, and Tony's with us, and Steve's with us, Steve Paisley Jordahl. Steve, you said allow 2 or 3 minutes at the end of the show. We're down to 4.
Okay, we can do that.
What do you want to do here?
Man, I tell you, if I was Shedeur Sanders had probably the worst day that any NFL quarterback could possibly have, and I'll tell you why. He came in the middle of a game for the Browns, playing for the Browns this week. And
this is Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders' son.
One of his sons.
Well, the starting quarterback, Gabriel, was taken out with an injury, and he had to fill in and everything. So he had a bad NFL day.
Sanders did, the quarterback.
Yeah. Now, this is one of his first times on the field, so I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback.
Right,
he might have a big upside, but it's a learning curve. He went 4-for-16 for 47 yards with one interception and a lost fumble and a quarterback rating of 13.5.
Which is not good.
Which is very bad. You know what the kicker is?
What's the kicker?
When he was on the field, somebody went in and broke into his home because they knew he wouldn't be home and robbed him.
Oh man.
That's what you call insult to injury.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Right there.
No.
Poor fella. They robbed his house while he's having the worst day of his life on the football field.
That's what, worst day of his football life.
So he's probably thinking to himself, I'm going to drive home and lick my wounds, and at least I can have my haven of my
Turn on my TV, watch.
Right, and you get home and your TV isn't there.
That's right.
Huh?
That's awful.
Really unfortunate.
Well,
4-for-16, 47 yards.
Yeah, you already said that.
One interception, 2 sacks, too, by the way.
And then the sad thing is his NFL salaries is not going to cover placing some
of your Shedeur Sanders, and maybe he'll end up making it, but he was the one in the NFL draft who was projected to go in the first round and then fell way, way down because a lot of teams didn't want to draft. I don't know if it's because they didn't want to draft. Well, he had come off as a prima donna, okay, which is unusual for NFL players, right? I mean, most of them are just full of humility and self-sacrifice.
Yeah, Deion's pretty muted every time I see him.
Yes, but Shedeur, his name, he's going to have to make it, and last Sunday didn't help him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you
got to
start
what
somewhere.
In his career, we wish him the best. He's a young guy.
Yeah.
23 years old.
Yeah.
First year in the league. Lot of talent. We'll see.
A lot of talent.
That's bad. But I've seen worse.
You know,
your house robbed.
Well, that's bad too.
If you're gonna have
his performance,
you're gonna have an awful start, though, you want it to be with the Browns because their expectations.
Right.
I say this as a Browns fan. Their expectations are just
Browns,
on the floor to begin with. So
they are. I think the Cleveland Browns. I'm convinced of this. Built their stadium over Indian ground. Very
nice.
And so you just don't get past that.
It's their offensive name.
They're cursed.
Huh?
They're named after the original owner of the team, by the way.
Yeah, not Brownies.
A guy named Brown owned them and named the team after himself.
There's the music. It's a good thing. We're out of time.
I've seen quarterbacks that have thrown as many as 6 interceptions in a game. 6.
Yeah, but they were transferred to a mental home immediately after the game.
Or
Mississippi State. They didn't go to hospital.
Could have been. Both are possible.
6 interceptions in a game.
I've seen it, yeah.
That will break a man.
Yes, it would.
Huh?
But, see, I don't know who to blame there, the coach or the quarterback. The coach kept putting him back in there.
ChatGPT, what's the most interceptions a quarterback has ever thrown in an NFL game?
It'd be 7.
It says, it's searching, 8.
8.
By Jim Hardy on September 24th, 1950.
Yeah, and
think about that.
Well, and the Hardy family had hoped that would never be brought up again.
Sorry about that.
But Steve just brought it up again. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.